Again, disclaimer, this is not medical advice. This is just a sharing of education and information from me to you. We're going to talk about the stages of adrenal dysfunction. This is a progression. We're going to be looking at a model of adrenal fatigue that has three stages. You can label them stages 1 through 7. You can label them stages 1 through 3. The point is you need to know and be consistent about what you're labeling it and know what you need to do to deal with people when they're at the different levels. Okay? So basically this is showing you start out normal at the very beginning. You progress up to stage 1, which is really high levels of cortisol. You see on the left-hand side, we're seeing the cortisol stimulation. Really high levels, and then back down into normal levels, what seems to be normal levels for stage 2. Stage 2 has a normal cortisol level, but they have low DHEA. And then they're down to the stage 3, which is everything's low. DHEA and cortisol are low. Okay, so what I want to do is give you an idea of the stages in adrenal fatigue. There's a standard progression in adrenal fatigue, and it starts with adrenal hyperstimulation. So you're going along and life is good, and you know, you're 4 years old and life is good, and all of a sudden you go to kindergarten, and then you go to first grade, and life gets stressful. And we get into situations where the stress is high, and that's called the alarm state. But the stress can be high and the adrenals can be working hard, but you're not at the point where it started to deplete you. That's the alarm state. The stage 1 is when the stress is high, the adrenals are high, the cortisol is high, but you're already starting to see signs that it's doing you damage, which means the DHEA is low. So you've got the normal, then you've got the alarm state, and then you've got the stage 1. Which is you're still producing plenty of cortisol, but you're starting to burn out. Your DHEA is going down. It's only a matter of time before the cortisol goes down, and then you end up in stage 2 or 3. In a stage 1, you may have periods throughout the day where you feel really energetic and other periods where you feel really tired. Okay, so that will be diagnosable or assessable, so to speak, when you look at an adrenal stress index test, because that tells you what the levels of the adrenals are, of the cortisol is, throughout the day. And very typically in that stage 1, that with the high levels of cortisol and the lower DHEA, what we're seeing is that they have peaks. So they may have a couple of spots during the day where they're really low and a couple of spots where they're really high. And often those really high ones, unfortunately, are at bedtime. And that's a person who has no energy during the day, gets wired in the late evening, and can't fall asleep, and then is exhausted the next day. So as we go through the progression, you're deteriorating, you're starting to show the wear and tear signs. But at the beginning, while you're in the, say, the alarm state, and you're not showing your DHEA low, you are in a situation where you are just depleting, and you're causing the damage, that all those damages that cortisol did that we talked about at the beginning. You know, the effects on your digestive tract, effects on your neurotransmitters, effects on everything. That's happening unbeknownst to you because it's not actually showing yet, but it's a matter of time. So when you're in the alarm state, if you can catch somebody in the alarm state, which is rare, but when you can catch somebody in the alarm state, it's really a matter of supporting the adrenals with the nutrients that they need, like things like B vitamins and vitamin C, and teaching them how to get themselves out of the alarm state, right? How to manage it. So the heart mat, the yoga, meditation, tapping, whatever is your favorite stress transformation technique. Okay. Once they get into stage 3, it's much harder to reverse. It's not impossible by any stretch. Stage 3 is where the DHEA is low and the cortisol is low. These are people that are more tired. These are people who don't have the energy to exercise, and when they do, they feel exhausted. And in fact, they probably shouldn't be doing much more than, you know, 20 to 30 minute walk a day, because otherwise it's too taxing to their system. And then after stage 3 is when you get into failure, right, where everything just falls apart. So the overactive adrenal, that's the first stage. When your adrenals are overactive, you have that feeling of tired and wired. Like you can't get up and out of bed in the morning, but you can't get to sleep at night. You're under a lot of stress, and you start to gain weight. You start to lose your train of thought. You start to lose your short-term memory. You start to be unfocused, and you wake up tired even if you went and got 6 or more hours. So in the hyper state, overactive adrenals, you can't fall asleep at night. You perspire really easily. There's a lot of stress, and you gain weight when you're under stress. And you wake up tired even if you've slept 6 or more hours. Sometimes you wake up more tired if you've slept 6 or more hours than if you've slept 2 to 3 to 4 hours. Because when you are sleeping that little, you're just running on adrenaline. And the cortisol and adrenaline are just soaring through your system, and you feel pretty good most of the time. You know, you do feel pretty good. But then if you go to get more sleep, your body turns off the high stress mode and falls back on just dealing with you without the extra stimulation. It's like being on coffee when you're on that cortisol kick. And then when you go away from it, then you feel really tired. Okay? And people like this, like my husband will say to me, I sweat just thinking about exercise. Okay? That's somebody who's in an hyperadrenal state. That's somebody who's definitely in a hyperadrenal state, and he is. Symptoms of low adrenals are when you get low energy, frequent illness, and the interesting thing with the frequent illness, a lot of these people say, you know, I feel great, really tired all week, and I look forward to the weekend, and I have these plans, I'm going to sleep in, and then I'm going to go play this or play that or do these activities I don't get to do during the week. And then they end up being sick on the weekends. Do you ever hear those people? They end up just not feeling well on the weekends because they've pushed themselves all week on adrenaline. As soon as the adrenaline falls down, boom, they're exhausted, or their cortisol levels. They're going and they're pushing. And cortisol has anti-inflammatory properties, right? We give people cortisone as an anti-inflammatory. And as soon as you stop pushing and you settle down, you're exhausted. So that's something. Dark circles under the eyes are common. It's also common in thyroid. Tendency to be pale, especially around the mouth. Real hallmark of low adrenals is ligament and tendon laxity. People who are having problems with their adrenals are showing, like they sprain their ankles or wrists, or they tend to be prone to sports injuries when they have the energies to do that. So you crave salt, you're cold intolerant, but it's a slightly different cold intolerant than the thyroid. It's more, you don't necessarily have cold hands and feet, you just don't tolerate the cold very much. You're very sensitive to the cold. You crave salt, and part of that is because you have low blood pressure, especially when you're rising. So then what happens when you're in the adrenal state, you end up spewing out your aldosterone and not maintaining your sodium, potassium, and chloride balance. You have thin hair, sparse hair on forearms or lower legs. Then the backs of the legs, the back of the forearms, it's like, whoa, what happened to the hair there? Sensitivity to light. This is also called photophobia. So if you notice that after you haven't had good night's sleep, you've been stressed, that it's really hard to go outdoors without sunglasses. I usually don't wear sunglasses, haven't in years, but when I go out, if I've, you know, pushed myself really hard and I'm feeling kind of tired, I go out, I cannot deal with the light, the sunlight. So those are things that happen when you're low in your adrenals. So let's look at some of the exam findings. So if you're looking at somebody, you can do these things with them or you can have them do it. When the blood pressure upon standing, so you go from lying down to standing up, so if it increases by 10, you're good to go. So this is normal. This is good. Your blood pressure increases by 10 upon rising. When you shine a bright light in your eyes, your pupils constrict, and they can stay constricted for up to 20 seconds. You have no margin, no rib margin tenderness. There's no discoloration under your eyes. There's no reddish back of the tongue or ulcerations or canker sores, no bad breath. No rough, scaly cuticles. There's no deep, particular signs of anxiety. Not there, no emotions. So the tongue, everything looks good. That's normal. That's good. So then if the blood pressure upon standing is the same, then you have some mild issues going on with your adrenals. That you can maintain the bright light for 10 to 20 seconds, but no longer. You do have a little bit of rib tenderness, a little bit of the discoloration, a little bit of the canker sores, bad breath, rough, scaly skin. A little bit, that's a mild state. So you go all the way over to the next column. The blood pressure decreases, but it decreases less than 10 points. So if your blood pressure is 120 over 80 when you're lying down and you stand up and your blood pressure goes to 110 over 70, then that is saying that you are pretty severely deficient. You know, you're right at the border between severe and moderate. Okay. If you can't hold that for even 5 seconds, you're pretty far gone. The really severe, you know, dark circles and all. That doesn't mean they're going to have all of these signs, but if they have a compendium of it, it gives you an idea of the adrenals. And it's a good way to monitor because things will change and it doesn't cost anything to look. The other things you can do to assess, there's a kit that Apex sells. It's called the Konigsberg Adrenal Fatigue Kit, and it's a picture of it there. It's silver nitrate and then potassium chromate, and you basically take urine sample, and you put a few drops of the one in, and then you use your dropper, and you just keep pipetting into the urine sample the silver nitrate, and you shake it a little bit each time, and you count the number of drops until it turns a brick orange color. And that, they give you a chart. I think if it's over 25, then you're in the hyper, no, you're depleted. And if it's under 10, you're hyper on your adrenals. Is it as accurate as a urine test, or is it as accurate as doing any other kind of saliva test? Probably not, but it's something that you can do at home, and it's pretty straightforward. The other test I like to do for home testing of the adrenals is the oxidata test. Get a vial, you put a few drops of urine in it, you shake it up, and depending on what color pink it turns, says how much oxidation, how much lipid peroxidation is happening in your body. When you're under a lot of adrenal stress, you're going to be producing a lot of lipid peroxides. You're going to be producing a lot of oxidation byproducts. So it's a good idea to test the oxidata and see. The other thing that's really helpful for adrenal home testing is vitamin C flush. And the way you do vitamin C flush is to take, you know, ever increasing, or you take a large dose of vitamin C every 15 minutes until you get like an enema-like evacuation, count that up, and then take about 75% of that on a daily basis. I gave you a shortened version of that in there's an adrenal home testing handout on the webpage. And then the zinc taste test, because zinc is so important for the adrenals and adrenal stress burns out your zinc reserves, doing a zinc taste test where you taste it, or you can do all the minerals. I like that kind of testing for people who have these sorts of issues because you can monitor them on a regular basis. And then finally, the pH challenge. The pH challenge, monitoring your pH, like your first morning urine or your first morning saliva, is good, but what you really get the idea of what your sympathetic nervous system is doing and how hyper-responsive or how depleted you are is by doing the pH challenge. And that is in that handout on how to do it. You're basically challenging with lemon and you're taking your pH every minute and you're graphing it to see if you're having a hyper parasympathetic response or unable to mount a sympathetic response. So let's talk about stage one, the tired and wired. It's like everything is just like shooting your computer. Come on, you know, how bad can it get? The sympathetic dominant state, the DHEA is low, the cortisol is high. You are like, you're on edge, but you're draining. You're constantly draining those reserves, and you're having all the negative effects of high cortisol, which we spoke about earlier, on your digestive tract, on your hippocampus, your short-term memory, on your neurotransmitters, your hormones, etc. Oftentimes, people who are in the stage one do get a slump in the middle of the afternoon. And when you look at their graphs, a lot of times they're high, 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 and then they slump in the middle of the afternoon, and then they go back to being high, typically wired at bedtime. It's just common. It doesn't mean it has to be that way, but that's pretty typical. When somebody goes into the stage two, their reserves are getting depleted. They've been in a sympathetic dominant state for so long that their DHEA is low and their cortisol is normal, but with possible dips. So whereas in the stage one, their cortisol was high, at least their total cortisol. In this stage, it's normal. So if you didn't know what you were doing and looking at their adrenal stress test, and you just looked at the cortisol, and some of the tests just do cortisol, you'd be missing the picture. You wouldn't be able to determine what stage they're in. And the reason I like to do those is because it gives me an idea of if they're in a state, like a hyper state or a stage two, how long have they been there? How long has this problem been going on? And adrenal fatigue, stage three, exhaustion, right? You can't even get your head out of the cereal bowl. The DHEA is low. The cortisol is sympathetic dominant because you're trying to be sympathetic dominant. You're trying to get that response, and you're wasting away. It's just wasting away because you can't even mount that sympathetic response. You can't even mount the cortisol. Suffering from the negative effects of chronically elevated cortisol, maybe they're constipated, maybe they have, you know, poor digestion, low digestive function, depression, any of those sorts of things. At this point, they definitely have low libido. The low libido can actually start in stage one, and I hear that from a lot of people, but by stage three, the libido's gone. There's no time for anything. If you can't get your head out of your breakfast cereal bowl, you know, how much are you going to be thinking about having sex? I mean, it just isn't going to happen. You get sex hormone imbalances because you're utilizing, for a long time, you've been using all that pregnenolone. Remember, the pregnenolone is at the top. You've been using that, and they call it the pregnenolone steal. The cortisol steals that pregnenolone and doesn't let any of the other hormones have it, so that you get sex hormone imbalances. You get low DHEA, of course. You get problems with all across the board. And you think, oh, I must be going through menopause. I'm going to go to the doctor and get bioidenticals. Meanwhile, if you don't fix the underlying adrenal problem, you're not going to be getting results that way. Accelerated aging, for sure, because it's depleting you. It's depleting you of your mineral cofactors, your collagen support. Everything gets depleted. And poor memory is big time, because the poor memory is a result of chronically elevated cortisol zapping away at your hippocampus, which is the seat of your memory, and not being able to produce much in the way of acetyl-CoA, which is more of the parasympathetic.